Good morning. That's pathetic. Good morning. That's better. Hey, there you go. Thank you. Santiago is my Dominican name, just so you want to know. So the first service was excellent. I'm not guaranteeing the second one will be. Okay? I told the first service I have to carry these around now as I'm getting a little bit older. It's kind of like a security blanket. Okay, I never know when I can see the letters. In my 20s, I didn't need these. But now that I'm in my 30s, I seem to need them. So, thank you. First of all, I'm honored to be here this morning. We love City Church. You have been a true blessing to the work of God in the Dominican Republic, and I want you to know that. I want you to know that. Hundreds of ministries are still running because people like you support us to speak into pastors' lives. And it's so vitally important. And from the Dominican churches, thank you. Men's weekend, incredible. I was so blessed by the conference. I just watched God do a lot of things, and that's what's really cool. Because it's all about Him, correct? We come here to this building, to His house, because we love Him. And so I thought, how fitting would it be, the missions conference coming up? I know a little bit about missions, and so let's talk about missions. Let's talk about missions. But before I get started, I want to do something that the Dominican Church does every Sunday. I would like you to stand, please. We work with thousands of pastors. You can pick one. You can pick one church, and they all do this on Sunday morning. They all stand before the Lord. They never sit when they pray. They stand. He's already here, but let's just welcome a little bit more. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the house on which you have built. I thank you for your presence here this morning. I thank you for your abundance, love. God the Father, I thank you for sending your Son. We adore him. We worship him. We honor him. We believe in him. And Lord, I ask that you will run rampant in this church this morning. This is your house, Lord. It's not our house, it's your house. These are your children that stand before you. I pray that the words that are spoken this morning, Lord, come from you and they pierce hearts here today. I pray that they are drawn to missions, their mission field. And Lord, that you will reveal that to them. May the words that are spoken in this house this morning, Lord, glorify each other. But most of all, glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for this time together. In the awesome name of Jesus Christ, amen. So, let's talk about missions. Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines mission as this: an important assignment carried out for political, religious, or commercial purposes. Okay, that's a definition. Definition number two. The vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith. Okay, that's a better definition. Amen? But what about this one? I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that saved my soul. I love that song. That song speaks to my heart, to the depths of my being, because that's missions. That's what missions is about. I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's all about Christ. The older I get, and I know I look really young, thank you, but the older I get, I realize life is about one thing. One. Christ. It's not about anything else. There's other joys and vacations, and I get all that. But we stand before Christ. It's about Him. He always has to be first. That's who we serve. And that's what we need to tell the world about. So, 1 Chronicles 16:24. This is the biblical definition. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So I have a question for you this morning. Is your faith evolving? Is your love and depth and relationship with Christ deeper today than it was when you first became a believer? I can't answer that. Only you can answer that. So if we're going to evolve, we go from something, to evolve means you go from a simple form to a more complex form. So let's talk about some things that have evolved over the years. Let's talk about the automobile. So in 1908, and I was not born in 1908. In 1908, the Model T, you went in front, you cranked it up, got in the driver's seat, started it, drove to your destination, shut it off. When you started it again, you had to crank it up again. Today, just if you're looking for a gift for a missionary, I'm open to this. It's a Bugatti. The Bugatti Chiron, it's called. 330 miles an hour. 0 to 60 in 2.4 seconds. Just so you know, my birthday's in June. That'll give you time to save up. It's only about $3.4 million. But it went from a simple form to a more complex form. Let's talk about the phone. When I was a kid, and I'm dating myself now, and all the young people are going to go, huh? The phone was on the wall. Okay, remember that? Who remembers that? Hallelujah, I love you people. The phone was rotary, too. You had to dial it. Okay. And so if you were really cool, if you were really a cool family, your cord would stretch all the way over here, right? Come on. Yeah. And then you'd stretch it out enough that it'd be all tangled up and all that. Well, I didn't grow up in a cool family. My cord was this long. And so after first service, one of the guys came up to me and goes, my family wasn't cool either. He says, we had a short cord, and then you'd sit in the kitchen and you'd talk, and my brother was there and my sister was there, and if I had to call a girl, what was I supposed to do? I thought, oh, that's so true. Today, carried around with us, this thing can do just about everything. But we carry it around. So it went from a simple form to a more complex form. Do you remember when you first became a Christian? I want you to think back. I want you to think back when you first became a Christian. Because when I first became a Christian, and I was a little older, I was 35 years old when I became a Christian. Now, I know I'm only 35. We've talked about that. But when I first became a Christian, and I learned the love of Jesus Christ and decided to give my heart to him, it was like my pants were on fire. I couldn't run around and tell people enough of who Jesus Christ is, who he represents, and how much he saves. So my question is, are your pants still on fire? Are you in love with Jesus more today than you were before? Are you willing to represent his kingdom, because that's what you're called to do, more today than you were before? You see, the Bible states 91 times, 91, think about that. God says something once, well, we should probably pay attention. If he says it twice, we should really pay attention. 91 times, God says, serve the Lord, serve each other, or be a servant. You see, we serve a very jealous God. You see, he doesn't want just part of your heart. He wants all of your heart. He doesn't want part of your willingness. He wants all of your willingness. That's what he wants. That's his desire. And you see, he's very jealous. We serve a very, very jealous God. First two commandments, have no other gods before me. And do not create for yourself an idol. And you guys are sitting here and you're going, oh, one of those missionaries, yeah, talking about idols. We don't have any idols. Really? Everybody laughs, but it's true. We're all guilty of this. It's convenient. We carry it around in our pocket. Are you spending as much time talking to Jesus as you are this? I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just asking. You see, he wants to come first because he's jealous, because he loves you. He created you. Do you realize that the Father in heaven who loves you so much created you? You are perfect in his eyes. But he wants all of you. Not just a part of you. He wants all of you. Luke 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, even your own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. I did not write those words, so don't pick on me. He wrote those words. Those words are for us. Do you think for 1 minute God the Father, who loves us all, who created us perfectly in his eyes, wants you to hate your mother, father, brother, sister? Of course not. But what he is saying is, I have to be number one. If I'm not number one, you are not worthy to be my disciple. Well, then if you don't want to be his disciple, what are you doing in church? I'm just asking. I'm just asking. We have to serve him because that's what he expects. And if we're going to evolve, if our faith is going to evolve, I believe we need to do three things. We need to study God's word. In other words, you need to spend time in this book. How can you defend the kingdom if you don't know what it says? If you were going to work for a company like Apple, you would dissect this, know everything about it, and want to sell it. Are you doing the same for him? That's what he wants. But in order to defend the kingdom, you have to know what the king says. You have to recognize your calling. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. But you all have a call. And you need to recognize you have a call. The third thing, you will need to apply action to the call. Faith without works is dead. Okay? So, study God's word. This is what the Bible tells us. Do your best, for 2 Timothy chapter 2, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in former times was written for our instruction. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and do so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You see, you come here on Sundays and Tuesdays or Thursdays or Wednesdays to get filled up. This isn't church. This is a building that God gave you, and it's his house. But this building did not save anyone. Your pastors did not save anyone. They're great people, but they didn't save anyone. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. You can't just be merely a church sitter. God's not looking for church sitters. He's looking for kingdom doers. He's looking for kingdom doers. That's what he wants. If you come here and you just sit in your seat and that's all you do, you're taking up space. The king is saying, I want more from you. I created you. I put a mission field in front of you. I put people that come across your path every day. Do they know you love the Lord? I can't answer that. Only you can. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Dwell in you. The only way it can dwell in you is if you know what it says. You have to spend time in the word of God. Amen? Like I said, we serve a very jealous God. Luke 4:8 says this in the words of Jesus. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. Point number two, recognize your call. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you this morning. It doesn't get much more foolish than me. I have no business being in the Dominican Republic. In the eyes of man, I probably have no business being there. Packed up my family, 8 hockey bags, 4 carry-ons, never been to the country. Could only say uno, dos, tres. Sometimes I still go into a ferreteria and ask for things, and they look at me and go, well, what kind of Spanish is that? Well, it's my Spanish, thank you. But because we recognized a call, a godly call, 2 kids from Minnesota packed their family up and moved. I listen to a lot, especially at the missions conference, and you guys are so loving and so wonderful to us. And I listen to people, and they'll come up to me, and they'll say, oh, you know, missionaries, they're so awesome. They go to foreign countries, and they do all this, and oh, yeah, you're just so much better than I am. I'm like, what? No, I'm not. I'm not any different than any of you. I simply was obedient. There are some days I sit back in the Dominican Republic and I look at God and I go, really, what am I doing here? But he said, go. There was no argument. I still remember telling my wife the first time I felt the call. I said, honey, I feel God telling us to go on missions. I'm going to join another organization. Since then, we've created our own organizations. But I remember telling her, it was on the back of a newsletter, because we had sponsored a couple kids, and I remember going, hey, that's us. God's telling, answer the call, apply. So I kindly showed my wife, Renee, and she reads it, and then after I helped her off the floor, she said, she did the good Christian wife thing. Yeah, I'll pray about it, because I know you'll change his mind. How'd that work, dear? But God did that. We're not better. We're just obedient. That's it. God's looking for obedient hearts. That's what he wants. He wants you to be obedient. And you see, you sit in these chairs and you say, well, I don't have a calling. Really? You don't have a calling. That's interesting. I want you to think about this. Your sphere of influence is different than his. His sphere of influence is different than his. His sphere of influence are different than all of you. You all have a sphere of influence. You all have people that God has put in your life for you to share how awesome he is. That's what it's about. It could be people at work. It could be people in your family. It could be a neighbor who you can't stand. I get that. I've had those neighbors. But what if? What if? What if you recognized your call and did something about it? You don't have to be a foreign missionary. You have a mission field 2 minutes till you get out the door. Let's see what the Bible says about your call, so you just don't take my words for it. 2 Thessalonians. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling. In other words, it's God's call to you, given to you. So you're working for him. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling. 2 Peter, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling. Ephesians chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. You see, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. If you're willing to jump and answer God's call, he'll work out all the details. I have a very good friend of mine who's the most talented man I have ever met. He plays guitar, he plays piano, he sings. He can fix anything in the whole world. The guy can literally fix cars, motorcycles, electric, plumbing. Doesn't matter what's on a house, the guy's incredible. And he's told me for years, yeah, I just don't see my call. I don't see my call. And I'm like, well, why the gifts and talents you had? Oh my gosh. But you see, what he's done for his whole life is he stands on the riverbank and the river's here and God floats an opportunity. And he runs up and then he goes, wrong shape. Then he waits and God floats something else by him and he runs up and he goes, wrong color. And he's done that for 30 years. Sometimes we're afraid to take the leap because we feel we might fail. So what? So you fail. Okay, God will pick you back up and give you another opportunity. But you have to be willing to answer the call. Number 3, apply action. 1 Timothy, God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, God desires that neighbor that you can't stand to be saved. And you know, when we work with other people, there's always seems to be one person that's really irritating. Amen? It's always one person that China just grates on you. But God loves them too. You see, when I was not a Christian, I hated Christians. I just couldn't stand them. I worked with a young man and he worked for me. And every day he was always so happy. And he'd sing. And he'd quote scripture. And I'd just say, shut up. Well, then I met this beautiful gal who actually said she'd marry me. Couple years into the marriage, she starts working with a young lady who is a sold out Christian lady who is now on our board of directors. God bless her. Started sharing her faith with Renee. I still remember the day. I remember it vividly. Jordan was a baby. He was about this big. And she came home and she had been with Sherry, and then she had gone and comes home and says, yeah, I found Jesus today. You know what I said? I didn't know he was lost. But you see, now spiritually in my head, I had somebody to mock at work, and now I had somebody at home. I was horrible. I was a horrible guy. Only God changed all that. I mean, I was not as nice as I am right now. So, see. She never shoved Jesus down my throat. Don't ever shove this book down somebody's throat. Because if somebody would have shoved this book down my throat, I'd have puked it up. Gentleness, kindness, compassion. She would show me what Jesus looked like all the time. She would go to church on Sunday and she'd take our kids, load them up in the car, and look at me and say, do you want to join us today? No. I did that for 2 years. Then one day on a wood pile, God got a hold of me. I heard the audible voice of God, and I grew up Catholic, and I knew who was talking to me. And I was shaken. But look what God did in a very short period of time. But because of those people in my life that just loved on me, and just showed me what Jesus looked like. That's what you've got to do. You've just got to show people what it looked like. If you want to stand on the chair in the middle of work and start preaching the gospel, God bless you, I'll rock on. But what if you just showed people what he looked like? James chapter 2. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, if you don't apply action to your call, it's the same thing as sitting right here and doing nothing about it. This is just a filling station. We fill up here, we get sharpened, we encourage one another, and we go to church. Church is out there. You have to apply action to your call. There's an old saying that says, I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And that is so true. So I want to share with you, first of all, Matthew 28, which you all know. Therefore, go on, make disciples of all nations. Well, you know what? Madison's a nation. Your workplace is a nation. Your family is a nation. Your neighborhood is a nation. Those are people that God has put into your life to make a difference for his kingdom, not yours. So I want to share a very, very sobering story with you. And every time I read it, and I read it a lot, it frankly scares me to death. So I want you to just think about it. Just think. It comes out of the book of Luke chapter 16. It's a story about Lazarus and the rich man. You see, the rich man had everything. He probably had a Bugatti. But he had the nicest home, the finest clothes, the best food. He lived like a king. But Lazarus sits at his gate. And he gets the scraps from his table, from the rich man's table. And it says that Lazarus was so physically beat up that it says that dogs came by to lick his sores. They both die at the same time. Lazarus heads to Abraham. The rich man headed south. We all know where south is. But the story goes on to say that the rich man looks across the great chasm, the huge expanse, and sees that Lazarus is with Abraham. And so the rich man yells out, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus back to dip his finger in water and please put it on my tongue because I'm burning up. And Abraham looks at him and says, it's above my pay grade. It's not up to me. I can't. Because of the great chasm here, you cannot come to me and we cannot come to you. So I just want you to think about this. Think about this story and think about the people that God has put in your life that you haven't shared the gospel with or shown them what Jesus looks like. You see, when I get to heaven, I want to sit with Christ and look across the great chasm and see no one that was in my life. I want them all with me. And maybe some of them won't be there, but at least I had the courage to say something or show them Jesus. And that's what it's about. That's what this story is about. You see, I believe, and I'm, you know, this is my interpretation. We're all going to die someday, correct? Okay, so I want you to think about this. You pass away. Abraham is there waiting for you. Hey, glad to see you. Been expecting you. Sit down. Christ will be with you in a minute. How are you going to feel right here? How nervous? Knees are going to be shaking. Palms are going to be wet. Your mind's going to be going 100 miles an hour. Remember how you lived your life? Christ comes in, says, hey, it's nice to see you. Let's take a look at the video of your life. What's the video going to say? What's your video going to say? You see, it's all about Christ. We've been talking about that since the very beginning of the sermon. It's all about Christ. It's about serving him. When I sit in this chair, I want to be leaping up and down saying, Lord, I rocked. And, I expect him to say, well, what were you thinking here, here, and here? And boy, what were you thinking there? But one thing you did, Jim, is you were sold out to me. It didn't matter the hurdles. It didn't matter the mistakes you made. Sometimes it didn't matter the words that you used, because sometimes you use dumb words. But you know what? You served me. That's what it's about. The end goal in life is here. That's the end goal. And what we're supposed to do as Christians, we're supposed to gather as many souls as we can. Are you doing that? I'm not picking on you. I'm simply asking for the King. Are you doing that? Only you can answer. I want you to take a minute. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think of the people that God has put in your life that are part of your sphere of influence who are lost. I want you just to take a minute. Close your eyes. Think about it. So I have a question for you. And this is between you and him and not between you and I. Are you willing to be a nobody to tell everybody about somebody who saved your soul? Are you willing to commit to him today to be more attentive to the mission field than what God has set before you? Are you willing today to serve him wholeheartedly? Are you willing to be compassionate and understanding and patient with other people? If you are, I would like you to stand to your feet. But here's the deal. The commitment, and this has to be a commitment. It can't just be something I'm doing at church because everybody else did it. It can't be that. It has to be real. You have to commit to the Heavenly Father. This is between you and him. Not between you and your spouse or you and your kids, you and your friends. No. It's between you and him. So all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Oh, man. Lord, you are spectacular. You are awesome. I pray, Lord, over each one of your sons and daughters here that stand before you and are going to make a commitment to you this morning to make a difference in the mission field that you set at the front of their feet. I pray, Lord, that you will give them the courage to walk through the door on which you open. I pray, Lord, you'll give them the wisdom to walk by the ones you close. I pray, Lord, that you will give them encouragement along the way. You will give them the words to share. And they will do it with compassion, love, understanding, humility. Because they want to serve their Father. So Lord, we commit this to you today. To be better followers. To be better ambassadors and representatives of your kingdom. Because you are awesome. And Lord, you want everyone to be saved. Show them, Lord. Show them their mission field. Reveal it to them. Give them opportunities and the courage to follow through. And if they fall and they fail, Lord, let them know you will pick them up, dust them off, and send them again. And that's okay. That's okay. So, oh Lord, we commit this to you. We commit this service to you. We commit these commitments to you. It's about you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for unending love for us. Lord, we do this in your name. Amen.